You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast, episode 159, Mary and Max, original Tim Tam Slam. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. My name is Chelsea Robson. I'm here with my fantastic co-host, Morgan Stradling.
Hello! Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast, everybody.
Man, we are very excited because today is a patron pick.
Whoop whoop.
Woo, go patrons. This today is actually brought us by Cammie, our patron, and she voted for the movie Mary and Max, which I would say is kind of a lost gem of a movie.
Yeah, it's definitely something that didn't get wide release, at least here in the U.S. It isn't very widely known, especially for me. When I saw this name, I was not familiar with it. Did not have the chance to see this when it came out in 2009, so I was intrigued. I saw that it was stop motion, it was claymation, and yeah, so should we just dive right into it?
Let's do it.
Mary Dinkle's eyes were the colour of muddy puddles. Her only friends were the Noblesses from her favourite cartoon. She wished she had some friends. Mary had an idea.
Dear Mr. Horowitz, I am 8 years old. I have a rooster called Ethel. It would be great if you could write back and be my friend.
Dear Mary, thank you for the letter. I have never met anyone from Australia. I share my home with a fish, a parakeet, an invisible friend called Mr. Ravioli. People often confuse me. I have trouble understanding them. Maybe this is why I don't have any friends.
Dear Max, in your letter, you said you had no friends. Neither do I. Can you help me?
Dear Mary, do you like chocolate hot dogs?
Where do babies come from in America? Do they come from coal cans? Have you got a girlfriend, Max? Can you explain love?
Be a creep!
I find the world very confusing and chaotic.
Dear Max, I don't think my parents like you.
People often think I am tactless and rude. I cannot understand how being honest can be improper. You are my best friend, my only friend. P.S. Did you know that turtles can breathe through their anuses?
Ooh. Hi there, Mary.
Hi. Oh.
Do you have a favorite sounding word?
Papadopoulos.
Mary and Max.
And just to let you guys know, obviously, if you haven't ever seen this movie, then going into it, just know that it's definitely more of a serious film. And so our whole conversation today is going to be a little bit more serious. We are going to try and put in a couple fun little things in there, just kind of random tangents, because you always got to have those. So, but other than that, like, just expect a little bit more of a thought-provoking conversation.
And also, if you haven't seen this film, we do, in every episode, we link in the show notes where you can buy it or rent it on Amazon and then on iTunes. So that's how we watch the movie. If we don't have it, is we'll rent it. So if you are interested in checking it out, you can always find those links in the show notes. All right, so before we jump into our main discussion, let's talk a little bit to give you some background about this movie. Of course, all this information comes from Box Office Mojo, IMDb, Wikipedia, and the bonus materials, wherever they may be. Now, this studio, it is Melodrama Pictures from Australia. It was written and directed by Adam Elliott. Release date was the 15th of January, 2009. The budget was $8.2 million Australian dollars, and then the box office, it did $1.7 U.S. dollars worldwide. It did not have a wide release. However, it did do very, very well at Sundance and Annecy and some of the different film festivals. It did not make the cut for the Academy Award nominations that year. It was on the short list, but didn't make the final list because they start from a list of like 20 or 30 mm-hmm. or, you know, it seems every year we just get more and more animated films. So yeah, that was very interesting. And it is all claymation. Took about 5 years to complete from, you know, beginning to end. Claymation is, you know, an arduous process, but it was worth it in the end. And I read some interviews with Adam Elliott, and he calls it a clayography, which is a clay biography. Because this is based on his life, or partially, he has a pen pal friend that he's been writing for over 20 years who has Asperger's. So definitely inspired by that pen pal. And so he just kind of took that and made a story out of it.
Yeah, he said, I went ahead and I watched some of his other shorts, and it's very interesting how he does it. Most everything that he says he does is based on a real life person in his life. And so he's like, I'm saying this, he didn't say this, but I'm saying he's like the claymation Taylor Swift, I guess. But he made the comment saying, it's like, yeah, if I know you, all's fair and game.
Yeah.
But like, oh. But he said that he's most of his films, most of his shorts have been based on someone in his life, not necessarily anything. Like, the facts aren't always there,
right?
But the character is based around someone.
Yeah, so the inspiration. He's like, I'm not going to let, you know, something take away from a good story. Mm-hmm. If I see it, I will be inspired and I will turn it into. So there are elements of Max that are like his friend. But then some things that are completely exaggerated and made cinematic, right?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So let's talk about these characters. It's a very small cast of characters, and it predominantly focuses on the two characters and their relationships, which is Mary, who is a young girl living in Australia. And she reminded me a bit of a Matilda-like character.
I can see that. Yeah.
Where you have these parents that just completely ignore you or just have things going on and they don't really care about you. So they even say that she was an accident. And really, we don't get any attention from the parents or really any interaction, maybe at like dinner time. The dad works all the time and the mom, who knows what she does, but she does not really care for Mary. And so very beginning, we see Mary just, you know, self-soothing in a way where she's making her own friends. She's making her own toys. She's very, very much neglected. And it's really sad to see.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, we have Max, who is a 44-year-old man who lives in New York City. And it's not given to us at the very beginning, although the clues are there, that he has Asperger's. So he struggles to interact with humans in a very meaningful way and is very confused by some aspects of life, especially interpersonal sorts of things. So those are the two characters. But we start with Mary first. And like we said, to me, was very much like a Matilda character.
Yeah, I liked her character design. I liked how basically she's from Australia. And so everything, Adam Elliott, the director and writer, he was the one that said, he's like, yeah, well, when I was growing up in the 70s, I just remember everything being brown. It was just the style at the time. Everyone had brown carpet. Everyone had brown everything. It was just brown. So to me, that's why I made most of all Australia, anything that had her in it was going to be brown based.
Yeah, colors. Like sepia tones. Mm-hmm. While Max is the black and white.
Right.
With a few color here and there.
Yeah, and he also said that there was a little bit more, you know, meaning in that, and the fact that he definitely doesn't see things in, you know, color. He sees not physically, he's not colorblind, but I mean, he definitely sees things as black and white. and lots of, he doesn't understand the intensities of all these different things. So his life, and they're also just saying how most of the time when you think of New York, it's just a lot of black, white, gray.
Yeah. Grungy. You know,
grunginess. So I thought that was really cool. And then it also gave really cool artistic elements of just like pop color here and there. Mm-hmm. Like he had his little pom-pom on his head, and she had the little beret or the beret in her.
Yeah, the lipstick side of the woman who kisses him. Like those big moments where they kind of like need to stand out. And so like we said, he has Asperger's. We're not really given that initially, but we're given the clues. You know, he talks about how he has a hard time reading people's faces, and like subtle facial cues go over his head. He's very much obsessed with littering and the cigarette buds that people are leaving everywhere. But then when he's typing the letter, it's like instant, like boom, 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 boom. Like he's an expert at that. Yeah. And to me, as I was watching that, I definitely picked on that very early, because I was like, wow, he either has autism or Asperger's or something like that, because the social things, there's a disconnect there.
Right.
But things that are very, like you said, black and white or analytical are piece of cake for him.
Right. Yeah, he was...
Like he's intelligent in that way.
Definitely not, unintelligent.
Yeah,
like
right.
He's definitely has his moments. And that's what, at first, because he didn't say, as you said, it didn't mention what he had. But I was like, he's got to be on the autistic scale somewhere.
Yeah, because he's very capable. He's living on his own. He's 44 years old. He's not necessarily in a facility or living with parents. You know, so you know, okay, he's well enough that he can live a life, live in New York City, and manage and do just fine. I mean, and he's very much content as far as things go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't ever really, even later on when he like wins the lotto, he's like, he doesn't have many desires.
Yeah.
You know?
He has like the two things on his bucket list and his life goals. And then he has no real need for the money after that point. So he's got to be very frustrated. It's just funny. There's someone else with their goals just.
Yeah.
Like the sky's the limit.
Versus like the neighbor who like.
Probably is like most of us. Yeah, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to get facial treatment. I'm going to get my teeth done.
What?
And then when she dies, she donates it to
the cats.
And then that guy just siphons it off into his personal account. And I love how they were like, yeah, he used it for his wife's boobs and a new Ferrari and everything else off to Mexico.
Like, I really liked the humor in this.
Mm-hmm.
The director often calls most of his films, like, they are comedic tragedies, which I can totally see how this is.
Yeah.
I mean, even at the very beginning when you have Mary looking out the window and seeing the dogs.
Just like,
I would love to have a dog or have somebody to play piggyback with.
I love that, because that was just her in her young juvenile innocence coming through. But everyone else in the audience knew exactly what was happening there. And it was just funny that was highlighted. And they had a lot of these moments that would be considered more adult. I guess dogs humping is an adult, but you probably wouldn't see that in Secret Life of Pets.
Right. It's just more real.
Right. Yeah. It's totally real. And there were lots of moments where they definitely went places that normal animated films would not go. And I really appreciated that, because I do believe that animation is not necessarily just for kids. And so to have this, it's just a medium to tell a story, right? And he had elements that, and I wouldn't even call this like an adult movie.
No.
It just has elements that you definitely would not see in other stuff. And so therefore it's like, oh, scandalous, but it's really not.
Right. Well, it's just, I like the fact that it is real. Like, it's like, well, this is life.
This is life.
Mm-hmm. And this is what we're dealing with. And that was one thing that was just so incredible about this film, is that in all of these moments that it goes through, it is just, it's life, but it's so moving. Like, was not whatever I thought this movie was going to be when I came into it, it definitely was not that.
Yeah.
And I had no conception of what it was going to be. So when it ended and it was like, oh my gosh, I was blown away with what the journey that the film took us on.
Yeah. I love that we get to see the perspective of both characters, because when Mary's talking in her inner dialogue and whatnot, and the things that she sees, it's very juvenile, but the things that she writes in her letters are, hi, my name is Mary, and my favorite color is blue, and I like this, and just like typical things that are important to a very young child would like to share with someone. While he goes off in his letters with like everything. Here's every single job that I ever had in my life. And here's this random thing about me. And here's this and this and this and this. And I just like seeing the perspective of both of those and how they, the lens that they viewed the world.
Yeah, there are so many different themes in this movie too.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
On Wikipedia alone, here are some of the themes that it brings out. It says childhood neglect, friendship, addiction, alcoholism, recovery, the obscurity of life, teasing, loneliness, mental illness, autism, Asperger syndrome in particular, obesity, suicide, depression, isolation, and anxiety.
Like, yeah.
This is not a film that you normally see on a kid's shelf. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I literally enjoyed getting to know them both because as you were talking about how she's giving her side and he's giving his is because and mostly because they're not able to really meet on the same level and yet they're kind of are on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see that.
Yeah, the letter form works really, really well for Max because his number one goal in life is to have a friend that's not imaginary.
Right.
And he's unable to do that in the traditional face-to-face sense. So this pen pal gives him that sense of friendship and it becomes a real friendship toward the end or, you know, a few years in, I don't know, but maybe initially, you know, but yeah. They become friends. And but it doesn't have that physical aspect to it that might cause him issues. And they never do interact.
Right.
They at the very end, you think, oh, it's the big moment. And that's kind of scary, you know, yeah. To see how he would react, how she would. And he does have like a major freak out when he finds out she's going to come. But it works perfectly and really does help satisfy the things that he's been wanting in life. That's why a lot of times people who with Asperger's or autism do really well with online communities mm-hmm. because there's that barrier there that, you know, and time and space. It's instantaneous, you know, if you're instant messenger or something with somebody. But the fact that you just have this, like you have this persona that you can put on, whether it's you, real or fake. But then there's just time to digest and really like write your message and tell your story and whatnot. So,
yeah. Well, also in writing now with computer specifically, not so much like handwriting because of you can tell when it's a child writing generally mm-hmm. versus an adult. But as far as on the computer, like you look at any YouTube video and all the like 100,000 comments that are on any given video
yeah.
and you just don't know who this person is. And that's kind of really, it's freeing for a lot of people. And mm-hmm. so I can totally see how this would be very beneficial for both of them, actually, because she's got, I'm not going to say that she's perfect either, because she's got her own issues.
Well, she has a big birthmark on her head that's color of poo. So that's
so
unfortunately
sad.
Something that kids
yeah.
latch onto and make fun of her for.
I really liked how his comeback of like, it just means I'm going to be in charge of chocolate.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get any.
And she totally uses it.
And it works.
it worked, right?
Yeah. Have you ever had a pen pal, pen friend?
The only pen. Yeah. I mean, like my cousins back in the day.
Yeah.
I would write them letters and we'd be pen pals or whatnot. We had a pen pal as a class in second grade. The people who were, they were truckers. So they'd go all around the country and we would send them letters and then they would write back and share. And then I remember one day they came and visited with their truck and it was super cool. So this moment did remind me of it, specifically the moment when her mom finds the letter and has this major freak out. Like
uh-huh.
as a parent, like that's very disturbing that
right.
some random person in a different country is writing your child. And I was a part of a Pokemon forum called Bulbapedia, which is still around. And I was Gary Girl on the forums and I was all time in those forums. And the moderator, kind of like the owner, one year said, hey, I'm going to send everyone a Christmas card. And so just send me your address. And so it was like totally nothing wrong with it. It was totally just like, hey, here's a Christmas card from the site.
Right.
You know, like as a site owner, like I would do the same thing.
Right, right.
But my mom got it and absolutely freaked out and like basically banned me from the site. And she was just like, why would you give your address out? You know, this was like the early days of the internet sort of thing. So yeah, that was my memory that very much tied with that. Like the mom getting the letter and saying, no.
That's funny. I had a pen friend who was from Canada. Her name was Chelsea Robson. And I met her because back, you know, once again, dating ourselves, this is at the beginning of the Hotmail days. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Hotmail was like the big thing. So got to get your Hotmail address. So I got my email address and it was, just to put it out there, I do not use this email address anymore. It is not there. If you send something to this email, it will not come to me. So, but it was Chelsea_Robson@Hotmail. And one random day, I got a random letter from another girl who was like Chelsea.Robson@Hotmail. And I was like, what? And then it turned out to be this girl from Canada. And she's like, I saw that this one was taken. And I just thought, interesting. And so I thought I'd send a letter to see if it was real. And so we were in junior high. She was like a year older than me or something. Uh-huh. And we just, for like a year or so, we just, every random little thing. It was not every once in a while, we had like a little letter that we would send. Sometimes it would be via email, and sometimes it would be via like snail mail. And so like we would still send like stickers or things like that.
Yeah.
You know, just like random little things. But I still remember like our little conversation. She was from Nova Scotia and she had some brothers. She spoke French. And I was like, you're cool. But it was also a very like bizarre world experience because it's like, you have my name.
You are me.
You are
me. In another country.
In another country. So I found that kind of odd, but it was still fun. Like, and my family's not as closed off, I guess, as Morgan's. And so my family was like, that's so cool. Send her this. So it was a good time. I was glad to have my pen friend.
Yes.
It was fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love that this is, she just sends a letter just to almost a random.
It was a random person. Out of Yellow Pages or something.
And then they start this great friendship, which is really cool. And this is exactly what he needed and exactly what she needed. Okay, so out of the two storylines, which did you find the more interesting?
The two storylines, they both have their ups and downs, obviously. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the story, like his story, just because, like, for example, when he was gone for 8 months, how he didn't write back and he was just like, well, nothing really has gone on in my life except for the lotto win and manslaughter charges have been dropped. It's like huge things. Like, okay, if in this case, I would be more like your mom if I had found like out that my daughter is talking to this guy.
Yeah.
Like,
have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
What the weird. Like, it was just the fact that it like falls on a mime. It was just like,
yes,
obviously embellishments of anything.
Right.
So that was fun. But at the same time, like, it was, everything was super tragic, though. Like, you feel sorry for both of them.
Yeah. I liked Max's story much better than Mary's. Mary's picks up at the end. So for the most part, it's just a little mundane. But it's because she's so young and she really doesn't have that much going on, which is fine. It picks up when, you know, we see the differences in their life as she matures and gets older and she's able to actually have a relationship with somebody and very easily move into that.
Yeah.
Where I don't think he ever had that opportunity.
No.
He even has someone literally throwing themselves on him and he still doesn't quite get it and wants to get out of there.
Nervous. Yeah. And we're basically going to be jumping all around here. This is just the discussion that's happening. And when she goes into her problems, she has so much confidence and she ends up writing this book about him and everything. And I'm thinking, did you really expect him to like this? Especially since he had this whole conversation with his therapist about how he doesn't want to be cured. He doesn't think he has a problem. And
yeah,
like,
this is me. There's nothing wrong with me.
Right. And so that whole thing, you really thought that this would just fly over? I just don't think so.
Yeah. And I think that just goes in. It's interesting because she has so much experience and has done her thesis on this, yet still doesn't really take into account how that would affect him.
Right. Well, I don't think she's ever actually been
around. That's what I thought was interesting is she wrote her thesis on just her interactions of a pen pal.
Yeah.
And this is Asperger's. This is everything we know. He's my test subject. But he never knew he was being tested on or whatnot, right, or being investigated or looked at. And it just seemed interesting that maybe she did, but it doesn't really seem so that any other, real life interactions with someone who actually has it, because that's totally different.
Right. Having a pen pal is way different from having a I live with this person type of a reality. Yeah. So it's whoa, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And she basically throws it all away when he gets very upset when he finds out she's going to visit. Yeah.
And then forever he can't write anything with an M.
Yeah, that's funny.
Airy. What's interesting about it, this is also one of those dangers of the fact that when you don't have a one-on-one in the same room type of relationship with someone, your whole idea of them is very skewed. And so that's a huge... In some ways, it's a good thing because it gives both of them the opportunity to have this friendship.
There's a wide spectrum
of
Asperger's and autism. And I think that's one thing we need to talk about is that his is definitely very much exaggerated and probably on the extreme side of the scale. And so when we're talking about this, again, we don't have Asperger's or autism. We're not experts on it. This is just our analysis of it from the movie's perspective and what's presented to us. But I've interacted with lots of people who have Asperger's and autism, specifically through the site.
Yeah.
And it's been a very educational and great experience to become friends with them and to work with them and whatnot. So this is Adam telling us, and really educating the world. I loved how he even used terms that are common, like Aspies.
Yeah.
I love that he brought this topic to center stage because I think it's more and more common nowadays.
Yeah.
Especially for the 70s or 80s, very uncommon.
Or at least
at the brink of coming out.
Not necessarily uncommon, because I'm not going to say that it's obviously it's exploded the people who the amount of people. It's just
awareness
of it. Yeah. And just so many different types of,
they call it a disability.
Yeah.
But when you're reading Adam's interviews and whatnot, he says, "I don't call this a disability. I refer to it just as our limitations, because we all have limitations in our lives, every single one of us. And some of them are much more extreme than others." And so he does not like to call it a disability. You live with someone with a severe disability in a way, with Down syndrome.
It's just very different. Yeah. So my sister Marissa has Down syndrome. And I would say on the scale, she's very high functioning.
Yes.
Compared to some of her friends. And I grew up with her friends. I have several, because she's 3 years older than me, 2.5 years older than me. We are always in the same area. We were just always together too. And so I always went to things that she was going to. So I do have quite a bit of experience with people who have limitations like this. And so when I talk to people who also live with somebody with other limitations like these, I generally come across as not being politically correct, because I'm very upfront about it. I'm like, oh, does he have autism, or does she have this. Like, I'm very
black and white, and the fact that you just want to call it what it is,
yeah,
and not like beat around the bush and be like, oh, well, we don't talk about that,
right? No, it's like, this is what it is, and it helps you better understand,
yeah,
what it is, like this person and what they're dealing with and how I can help them better. It's interesting because a lot of people, if they don't know my background, they think, oh my gosh, she's so
insensitive.
Insensitive. Yeah. I'm like, well, I would say it's more like a doctor would want to know what somebody's diagnosis is, like just to know what's going on. But yeah, I find that when I talk to other people who live in the same situation, they are the same, and like, so we don't judge each other. Mm-hmm. Like, we're cool.
Like, the newspaper just referred to him as like retarded man,
right,
blah blah blah, which that is a term that is very much off limits nowadays,
yeah,
compared to how it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we even really refer to anyone.
No, it's become much more diagnosive,
yeah,
as opposed to generalities.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember like also being very offended when people would call my sister retarded or something, because mm-hmm. it was just like, you don't know. Like, I think it was more of like, you're putting her in this box of something and giving her the limitations that she doesn't have. Like, she already has enough. Why you gotta throw her into others? And it's just knowing that some people don't know how to talk about these things. So
yeah,
it's interesting watching how both of these interactions work out. Especially with Mary, like looking at how she has put so much stock in this relationship, because it is her main friend after her husband has left her, and he kind of left during her breakdown.
Yeah.
So, but still, he had his pen friend. I was like,
oh yes.
Oh brother.
I love you, Mary. I just love him more. What? Where'd this come from?
Okay.
I'm like, okay, that's a plot twist I did not see coming.
I didn't see that either. I was like, okay. But she, seeing her breakdown originally from him, from the fact that Max sends her the M off of his typewriter and everything, how she realizes the pain that, I guess, rash actions, just assuming that she knows a lot and just like, oh, just running with it, and instead of like really backing up and to let him know, I guess, what was going on, she just goes into this deep, deep depression. And I can see that. And it's also kind of like a warning sign for people who, like, for example, if you have different relationships online, it is good to realize that they are not totally, if something happens that maybe offends you in some way, it, a lot of times it's not real. Like, you may be reading more into this than what was actually presented. And so, I mean, it's just like talking to somebody in text message. Like, don't have important conversations via text. This is not okay. Lots of bad things happen when you do that. But it's, so she just, I think she would have been sad, but I don't think she would have been as depressed had she known exactly what his state was when he, like, he was upset and angry, but, you know, he was going to calm down. But for her to like jump to the conclusions of, okay, I am totally depressed that I'm going to go straight to suicide, is just like, whoa, we need to, that's long before that is when you need to really assess the situation and think, maybe I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're not maybe that hard off or something. It was just like, just so many extremes in this movie.
Yeah, I did find it a little unrealistic that she seemed to be okay. Like, she had gotten all this confidence. And so was that just false because, you know, she was finally getting the physical attention, you know, with not just physical, but, you know, emotional. And like, she had this true friend.
Yeah.
And then that was taken away from her. And then her only other real friend that had been this cord throughout
constant.
Her life. Yeah. Basically shuts her out. And so I mean, I do see how that could lead you into a big depression, obviously.
Yeah.
With him going, she had nothing at that point. So it's for her, there was really nothing to live for. But still, it happened so quickly. I understand why it's a movie. We need to move things along. But I mean, finding the pills and this on your neck. And
it was intense.
Yeah,
super intense. One funny thing is, Adam Elliott, he puts a lot of taxidermy in his films. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what the heck? What is your obsession with taxidermy? We can learn a lot about somebody just by watching what types of things, themes that they put in their movies.
Another thing that I thought was interesting is that this is a very, very positive relationship for both of them.
It was.
However, it definitely affects Max significantly more, where almost every letter he gets triggered by something that's said, or just the fact that the letter arrives the first time.
Yeah.
And it really throws him for a loop. It's slightly unhealthy for him because it causes him to go on these, into the state. But he needs it so much at the same time as that he eventually gets over it and then, starts writing this major letter.
Yeah.
Which probably is 5-6 times the length of hers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I really liked the neighbor across the street. Mm-hmm. And every time he tries to go outside, it's like he finally got over his fear of the outdoors. But it's like every time he went outside before, it's like the dog is about to kill him, and then somebody like runs into his house.
Right.
I was like, I would be afraid too.
Yeah, he had a reason. Okay, guys.
I liked that.
Her parents die, so again, that's another thing that she's losing everything. But at the same time, I really didn't feel she was sad. She was crying. She shows emotion.
Yes.
Well, he does not. And she sends him her tears.
Oh, that was sad.
Which was really sad. But yeah, even at the funeral, her parents they die within a year, one in 88, one in 89. And she's very sad. They're her only family. She has very little friends. And even though the parents, it doesn't seem to that they really improved much. The mom was still super mean, and the dad was like working all the time, putting strings on tea bags for 40 years.
Earl Grey. I want to marry a man named Earl Grey.
Yeah, it was
like,
very
funny. I have a castle in Scotland. I actually I'm totally fine with these aspirations.
Hey, she knew it was up. You talked about the different themes. Chocolate is a theme
as well.
I mean, one of their things that they do is they're always sending each other very obscure chocolates in every single package, which was very funny to me.
I'm sure he got a whole bunch of Tim Tams.
Oh, yeah. So we could do those Tim Tam slams.
If you don't know what a Tim Tam slam is, you need to look this up. It's pretty awesome. So basically what you do, it's a Tim Tam is a type of a chocolate
wafer cookie.
And they bite off a corner on opposite ends and then stick it in hot milk. And then you have to suck up the hot milk and then suck up the whole Tim Tam itself in one slam.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's quite funny to watch.
Oh. It's way too much chocolate. I actually, at work, we have different teams that support different countries.
Oh, really?
And so the Australia team is right outside my door. And actually yesterday or 2 days ago when I was at work, they had leftover cookies from Halloween and I was eating them. Way too many. They were like little mini sugar cookies that were about an inch in diameter. So, you grab like 2-3 and then you come back for 2 or 3 more. And he's like, oh, do you like chocolate? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I got something for you. This is my secret stash. So he pulls out of his desk, the supervisor, and he's like, they sent me all this Australian stuff because we're the Australian team. But have you heard of Tim Tams? Like, oh boy, have I.
Oh boy. I have a friend who, she lived there for a couple of years, and I asked her one time, I was like, okay, should I go with the normal Tim Tam or the caramel Tim Tam? She's like, oh, original all the way. Don't even waste your time. I was like, oh, okay.
That's funny.
I'll remember that. Any Australians out there, please let us know which is
original
your
or caramel.
Caramel.
Very nice. So the ending of this movie was quite sad. I cried at the ending.
Oh, I totally cried.
Which was shocking to me.
I did not think
that I was going to get emotional, but it was just very sad that she finally made it. She has a baby.
Yeah.
Which is even more just sad because, it's a remnant of this last relationship, but still positive.
Bittersweet.
Yeah, exactly. Very bittersweet. Like chocolate. And so they come, and it was unclear to me whether they moved there, they went with the intention of moving there, or they just came to visit.
I think they were just to visit.
Yeah. And so she goes in, and she's just like, hey, Max. Hey, what's up? Hello? And then, sees him, and he has passed out and died on his couch very peacefully.
Uh-huh. I liked how they brought in his faces book.
Yeah.
Basically, he's trying to mimic
people's
faces as far as like happy. He's mm-hmm. trying to mimic happiness, show happiness on his mm-hmm. outside, even though he really doesn't know how. And then it, like, as you're looking at him from the side, he just looks like he's staring up there with his mouth open. But then you look at him in the bird's eye view and he's smiling as he's looking up at all of the letters mm-hmm. that she has written him over the years. And it's just like, wow.
I know. It was
so much. And you don't, and it wasn't until that moment until you realize how much this relationship, and I think any relationship, could mean to someone. I've had different relationships with people where it's like, I know that they don't know how much our relationship has meant to me. Like, I just, not to say that I haven't like told them or anything, but it's just like, there's certain times you can tell somebody that, yeah, your relationship means a lot. But at the same time, it's like, it's hard to express a lot of times. And like, they did a fantastic job of him, who has a very difficult time expressing anything, you know, as far as emotions mm-hmm. to show mm-hmm. exactly how much that meant to him.
Yeah.
So it was so moving. And I think just from that, for me, goes straight up to 4-star movie. Like,
yeah.
Even though I don't think this is a movie that I would ever watch again. I don't,
yeah. It was a lot to take in.
It was a lot.
Chelsea, I didn't get the chance to watch it, so I mentioned to Chelsea and she's like, oh, well, this isn't a movie that you can multitask.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe I can just do it in the background at work. She's like, no, this isn't really a movie that you can multitask. You really have to be all in.
You do.
Which you do.
And you have to, once you're all in, you just like, it's draining in a way. Drain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that I would be able to watch again, probably, but at the same time, I appreciate it for what it is, and I am glad that I watched it. Any piece of art that is able to move you like that is worth watching.
Yeah.
At least once, you know.
So yeah.
For me, if we're just going to jump straight to the ratings, I would give it 4 stars for me. Yeah, no replay value, but dang, it's a good movie.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 4 stars as well. I thought that it was very, very emotional, very well done. From the very first few minutes, I went from I'm not quite sure what I'm watching to, oh, I'm invested. Uh-huh. And I really like this. And I really loved their relationship. I love seeing how it progressed over time. And I loved that it gave us this view into the world of someone who lives with Asperger's and everything that they have to go through, and trying to show us a little bit what the world is like from their lens, or at least this is Max's view and right. his level of Asperger's that he has. And I thought that was a really, really cool topic that we were able to dive into and discuss, and that this movie was very real and raw and didn't try to sugarcoat anything. It was a tragedy mm-hmm. in the end. There were a few happy moments, obviously, but yeah. in the end, it really was a tragedy and doesn't necessarily end on a very happy note.
I mean,
it is happy, but a bittersweet again
bittersweet.
At the end. So for that reason, 4 stars. I really was impressed by this. So thank you, Cammie, for recommending it.
Yeah, thank you,
Cammie. My eyes are now open to something that I never even knew existed until today when I watched it.
Yeah, for sure. If you have seen this movie, or if you decide to watch it and want to tell us what your thoughts are, please send us a voicemail. We'd love to hear more about what you guys thought. If you go to rotoscopers.com/voicemails, or you can dial our phone number if you're in the United States at 406-646-6575 to leave us a message there. All of the information for this movie is going to be on rotoscopers.com/159. As if you have any links or anything to suggest and any comments, you can also go there. And we're very excited to talk to you guys about this movie on that forum as well.
So our next movie is going to be something that's much more fun, much very more exciting. Jovial and a little less serious. It is the 10-year anniversary of Enchanted coming up.
I know.
So we're going to go and dive into it and do Enchanted. And Enchanted is a 2D live action hybrid. So it counts.
counts.
And it's
there
a really
13 minutes
right?
of animation in this.
And it is a really, really cool film to talk about, especially its place in Disney history and Disney animation, what was happening with the studio then. So, I mean, this, I have so much to say, but I will hold back. I will not talk. And
until, so much that we'll be going into.
And I guess that's until next time.
We are the Rotoscopers.
But before we get into that, how have you been, Chelsea?
I've been doing good. Well, kind of. I've had some issues, like painful issues over the last like week or so.
Oh, wow. That's not encouraging at all.
No, it's not. Have you ever been stung by a bee?
I have.
It's very uncomfortable. I got stung in my head.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very uncomfortable. And then it like made something like swell up in my neck and I couldn't move my neck for like 3-4 days. And then I went horseback riding and my leg, I was dumb and I didn't wear long enough pants. And so my skin ended up going like rubbing against the saddle and then it just like carved away at my leg. And so I can barely walk now.
And there you have it. This is the Animation Addicts Podcast. You're central for all things Debbie Downer. The original Tim Tam Slams. Tim Tam Slam? Original Tim Tam Slam.
Works for me. I mean, Tim Tams and then Tim Tam Slam.
It's Tim Slams?
Tim Tam Slams. A Tim Tam Slam is the actual thing, but Tim Tams are the candy.
Yes, so what am I saying?
I don't know.
Tim Tam Slam? Am I doing one slam or two slams?
What's happening here?
I don't know.
We need something easier.